2 Kings 25. Brethren, if a person is not sound on where the Word of God is, right? If a person does not know where the Word of God is, if a person does not know that the King James Bible is the Word of God, if there's not someone in that individual bearing witness to that, well, then their salvation is highly suspect. I mean, that's just all there's to it. But brethren, if people then, even if they're saved, but they're not, they don't have confidence of where the Word of God is and aren't into the Word of God, brethren, then ultimately everything becomes a travesty. And where we are today in the Laodicean church age is frightening. It's frightening. It's frightening what passes off today and what people, brethren, you can't take anything for granted. You've got to stay in the Word of God. The only thing that will keep, if the Lord abides within you, the only thing that will keep you and I living holy for God as we ought and close to the Lord is time spent in His Word. Seriously. And it'll keep us straight. Without that, brethren, without time spent in the Scriptures, then people will come across with things that sound spiritual, but they're not spiritual. And you see so much of that today. People are falling prey to spiritual talk that is not true. It's not spiritual truth, but it sounds spiritual. And it sounds good. And it sounds, you know, and it's just dangerous. It is. So 2 Kings 25, stay in the Scriptures, brethren. Stay in the Scriptures. 2 Kings 25 and verse number 10. 2 Kings 25. And verse 10. But also understand as you do that, it's going to put you at odds at times with those who even profess Christianity, and there's just nothing to be done about it. And you will be looked at as schismatic, divisive, troublemaker. And don't be a troublemaker. Don't try to be in people's... But brethren, it's the Word of God will do that. It'll bring that kind of thing. And just understand it. Don't take pride in it. Don't take a self-righteous pride in such a thing. Never. But understand that it'll just happen. 2 Kings 25, look at verse 10. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. So what did they do? They break down the walls. They break down. Brethren, the enemy's trying to break down your walls. Now, since those walls, the Bible says, you know, he'd have no rule of his own spirit. The city broken down without walls. Okay. So, since those walls are tied in with your spirit, what is the enemy trying to do to you? He's trying to break down your walls. He's trying to break down your spirit. You know what the enemy's trying to do to you and I every day? Break your spirit down. Break our spirit down. He is. Look, they're trying to take Jerusalem, right? So what do? They break down the walls. They break down the walls. Well, the Bible tells us that those walls typify our spirit. Proverbs 25, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is as a city broken down without walls. So what is the enemy trying to do every day? Boom, boom, boom. He's trying to break down your walls. He's trying to break your spirit down. And surely you can see that. You can see how that the enemy constantly tries to batter down your walls, to break down your spirit to the point, to get you to the point where you don't resist because you're just too weary to resist. He wants to do it on the short term in the sense of every day getting you to the point like, you know what, by the end of the day, I ain't got no fight left in me. I just ain't got no fight. Then he wants to do it in the long term to where in the long term you're like, you know what, I'm just done. So he wants to do it on the short term. He wants to do it on the long term. To break down the walls of our spirit so we just get tired. And we just lose the will to resist. He breaks our spirit, breaks our walls down. Don't let the enemy break your spirit. Go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. We can't allow him to break our spirit. Now listen, but understand something. Understand something you're not going to be able to do. All right? Understand something you're not going to be able to do. You're not going to be able to stop him from battering your walls. He's allowed to do that. He's allowed to do that. See, he is allowed to try to break your walls down. That's what he's allowed to do. So you're not going to stop that. What you and I have got to not yield to is we don't allow him to bring those walls down. We can't just let him do it. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you, the Bible tells us. So you can't stop him from trying to break your spirit. He's going to do that. Well, brothers and sisters, we're like, well, just stop. Well, does the Lord make him stop? No, he's our enemy. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be allowed to try to break our walls down, to break our spirit. Now, you might ask, well, why does God allow that? Because, brethren, God understands something that he wants you and I to understand. It's not about this life. See, we tend to think, well, Lord, why are you allowing to do that? Because it just makes life miserable. Because the Lord's saying it ain't about this life. God is saying it's about eternity. You're looking at, 70, 80 years? I'm thinking of eternity. And so if you'll resist him, if you'll fight the good fight like Paul spoke about, it'll lay up on the other side. God is thinking of the next life. Brethren, God's not thinking of this life. Even though he's good to us in this life, God is concerned with the next one. And that's what we've got to be concerned with. Proverbs 18, look at verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? So the devil wants to wound your spirit, break your spirit down, because, brethren, once your spirit gets broken down, well, you're done. You're done. You can't go on with that. And so he's trying to break your spirit. It'll affect everything around you. So he's trying to wear your spirit down, break your walls down, get you to where you're so wore out that you just, whatever, you don't care. You can't let him do it. You can't stop him from making the attempt. See, that's the thing that gets us sometimes. But you can resist him, and you can let God build you up to where you don't let your spirit break. He doesn't break your spirit. Go to Proverbs 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Your spirit gets broken. It'll do you in. In whatever way your spirit gets broken. You know, some people have such an attachment to an animal. Let's give you an example. That if that animal dies, their spirit gets out. Sarah's, again, I always mess up what to call H.E. He was Sarah's grandma's husband, but it wasn't her grandpa. She had remarried after her husband later on. I guess your grandpa died. Anyway, so when H.E. was, he was a nice fella, really was. But H.E. loved his German shepherds. I mean, he loved them German shepherds. And H.E., bless his heart, I don't know what he was doing and what caused him to do it. I guess he thought the lawnmower was off, but he stuck his hand under the lawnmower and zip out with them fingers, right? So he stuck his hand in some kerosene oil and went to the hospital. And he's in the hospital for a little bit, right? Where they're trying to, well, while he was in the hospital, them dogs, one of them at least, so missed him, it died. Well, when he found out that dog died, guess what it did to him? And he just went in and get his fingers, but it messed him up. And he had to stay in the hospital. It really, why? His spirit got affected. His spirit got affected. Brother, I'm just saying, a merry heart does good like medicine. A broken spirit drieth the bones. Brother, when your spirit gets broken, it'll affect your health. It'll affect your well-being. It affects your immune. It just does. It'll just dry you up and and the devil knows that. So he's always trying to wear us down and break our spirit down. He really is. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 27. Brethren, things happen in life, but we need a fortitude that allows us to go on. You know, something happened around the 1960s, no doubt in the 60s. Because you know what? A lot of that 60s generation are now the ones in positions and all this time. And people, everybody turned inward. Everybody turned inward and all about me and getting in touch with my feelings and all about. When generations before that was like, it ain't about you. It's about somebody else. Even people lost. They understood it's about somebody else. And hey, you move on. And I think, you know a good example of this thing? Now there was a TV show one time that if they could have cleaned the thing up a little bit without innuendo, could have been a funny thing. But they put a lot of innuendo and things in there. It's called Hogan's Heroes. Okay, some of you back in the day knew about. Okay, one of the guys on that show, Warner Van Klemper, he played Colonel Klink, right? And Kevin Murphy can do Colonel Klink better than Colonel Klink can do better than Colonel Klink. But he was German. He said, "I'll do that show as long as Nazis have to look like buffoons in the thing," and he did. But now listen, there was a guy, one of the POWs, named Leclerc. And Leclerc was a little Frenchman, right, who is in this movie about the Nazis, about the Gestapo, about World War II. Well, let me tell you about Leclerc. Or LeBeau. His name is LeBeau. Let me tell you something about him. He was a Holocaust victim. He was a Jew. And he was in there as a little boy. And the only reason he lived was they made him entertain because he could sing and he could dance and he could do things. And he was a Jewish he'd been a refugee. He'd been rescued from the camps. And here he is in a TV show about World War II, the Nazis, the Gestapos, but it makes them look like buffoons. Now listen, how come he's not like, "It's too traumatic. It's too traumatic." I notice something. Just to give an illustration. Instead of saying like, "Oh, that time of my life," and how he's like, "Hey, it's done. You know what? You move on. You don't let thing determine you. Yeah, it was bad, ugly, bad deal. You move on." Brethren, I'm telling you something, brethren. Everybody, the people today are being trained to turn inward on their self and be so conscious of self so where everything just destroys them when it doesn't have to. And people used to be brought up with a resilience, even without knowing God, that there's a resilience that, you know what? Well, this life, you pick up, you go on, you make good things of it. You don't just take and turn it, "Oh, how bad things are," and "Oh, how hard." But okay, there it was. You move on. But this thing's turned around another way. And sadly, when believers pick up on that kind of thing, brother, your spirit gets affected. You're done in. You're done in. And a lot of those people, a lot of times in those camps, yeah, they survived. They didn't let their spirit die. They would strive a lot of times to do whatever they find out, whatever they could find out to laugh at, to find everything that they could find out that was absurd, to find out whatever they could find out to engage their, you know, sometimes it would do you good to help you learn the importance of your spirit in fighting things. Read about POWs, read about Holocaust survivors, read about those things and what the ones did to make it through. They didn't even know God at times. But you know what they did? You know what the thing they didn't do that I think God moved in on their behalf? They didn't quit. They didn't quit. Till life did not ebb out of them until it was nothing left. It wasn't because they gave in. It just was taken from them. But they did. And you know what, brethren, I've just seen it too often in my reading through the years. God steps in on behalf of somebody that's even lost, somebody that doesn't know him, but yet when they show courage, not giving in, fortitude, God just steps in on their behalf. He does things for that kind of person. All right? No, it doesn't save them. They got to come to Christ. But God will step in. It's just too many times you see evidences of those things. And, you know, there were guys in those POW camps in the military. But, you know what they do? They'd find out, well, let's don't just sit here. Let's try to tap things out. Let's leave messages to each other where we can on toilet paper or whatever like that. Let's teach each other things wherever we can. They'll do whatever they could. They tried to never give in. Well, you're in a battle that's even more fierce. You really are. The battle you're in is one that has eternal consequences. It's with an enemy you can't see, but he's trying to break down your spirit. He's trying to get you discouraged. And you can't let it happen. But brother, if we concentrate on our situation, we'll be done. We'll be done in. You got to keep going. You've got to have a fortitude. Listen, think about just something, just a minute. What if you are a pilot and you and your co-pilot have ejected out and you've been captured and they've got you in one place. This stuff happened and your co-pilot is somewhere else and they're telling you, "Might as well tell us, he's done cracked." He's done give in. He's told us everything. He's told us everything. He's gave us this. He's gave us that. Now, maybe you'd resist that for a while. After a year, after so-and-so, you know what? He's not even around here anymore. He's headed back to the States. He's hearing, and you don't see him. You're not allowed contact. Think how that would wear on you. After maggots are around you, rats at night, you got a cough, they're tying you up. I mean, your body's getting, you know, and yet because of a code of honor you were given, you won't give in. Now, that's somebody lost. Sometimes these men were lost, but that was put in them. All right? And then you hear visitors come from the States, your country, right? Like Jane Fonda. And I mean, seriously, right? And what do you get? Oh, there's no problem here. And they're getting, just think what that would do to you. They give in. They give in. Brethren, may God help you and I to remember that and realize the importance of the battle we're in and not let our spirit be broken. Listen, even if you feel like you're the only one, and we know we're not, but suppose you felt like that. Well, right's still right. You keep your eyes on the Lord and right is still right. And you don't give in. But the enemy's trying to do, though, is wear you down. Let me tell you something, too. You know what you do? You just encourage one another. You read about these guys, and you know what meant something to each other? Brother, sometimes these guys would get so much pain that they'd like, I got to give them something. So they'd give them something that wasn't important. They hope not, but tried to give just to, you know. But then their conscience would bother them. And they'd go back, right? And they'd encourage one another. Say, look, it's okay. You know, you didn't give anything important. You know, it's all right. You're trying. They'd encourage and try to help one another. Now, if somebody turned coat, that's a different story, right? But brethren, just trying to keep each other's spirit built up. Because if your spirit goes, you're done. Harlan Popoff said that. He says, when we found somebody that couldn't laugh, we knew he was about done in. If somebody couldn't laugh, he was getting ready to snap. His nerves were getting ready to go. Because we could always find something, something absurd to try to, you know. Take your Bible to Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Well, that's a good one, brethren. Look at that. He'll strengthen your heart. Why? If you're of good courage. And courage does not mean that you're not afraid. Lack of fear is usually a fool. Somebody that's not afraid is usually somebody touched in their head. Something's not right with them. No, courage is you are afraid, but you're doing right anyway. You go on and you do right. Be of good courage. And what will the Lord do? He'll strengthen your heart. He will strengthen your heart. Go to Isaiah 40. I'm just telling you, brethren, he's trying to break down our walls. He's trying to break our spirits. Sometime, some good reading for you to do if you have. I know who's got time doing it, right? But if you ever have some time, don't forsake your Bible reading, of course. But an account of some of these POWs or some Holocaust, it'll help you. It'll help you to transfer that kind of stuff to the battles you face as a believer and the fortitude they had. It's important. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. All right. So again, he's trying to break down the walls. Go back to 2 Kings 25. 2 Kings 25. 2 Kings 25, look at verse 11. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon, with the remnant of the multitude, did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. So notice, the rest of the people that were left in the city, and it says, and the fugitives. The fugitives. Well, what is a fugitive? Well, the dictionary defines a fugitive as one who flees from danger, one who flees from his station or duty. At times it can mean in the dictionary a deserter, or one who has fled or deserted and taken refuge under another power, or one who has fled punishment. Now, a fugitive can be in a bad sense, or in this, it can be in a right sense, because God had told them, give up. The Lord had told them, give yourselves up. Give yourselves up to the Babylonians. In this case, the fugitives fled to Nebuchadnezzar and were told to do so. God told them to do so. Go to Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah 38. Now, think about something a minute. Just imagine what that had to do for your pride and dignity. The God that you have to be and should be devoted to and serve and give your devotion to is telling you, go give yourself up to the enemy. Lord, we'll look like a lowly, defeated... And the Lord said, yep. Give yourself up. Because you know what? You've been prideful. You've been arrogant. You've been idolatrous. You've been haughty. I'm going to humble you. Yeah, it did look pretty bad. If they were going to do right, they were going to have to do it because they needed a huge dose of humility. And God was going to give it to them. And it's kind of like medicine. It's going to be bitter. But it's going to help them if they'll take it. The ones who didn't take it perished. All right? Look here, Jeremiah 38, verse number 1. Then Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Go down to verse 17, Jeremiah 38, 17. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. So they were told. They were told. They were warned about it. Brethren, to be a fugitive under God's command is one thing. To be a fugitive otherwise is another. Notice the wording, though. Look at 2 Kings 25, verse number 11. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city and the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon. Wow, that's interesting. That fell away to the king of Babylon. Go to Jeremiah 39. Jeremiah 39. Jeremiah 39. Verse 9. Jeremiah 39, verse 9. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city and those that fell away, that fell to him, with the rest of the people that remained. See, these fugitives fell away. The Bible uses that phrase. They fell away. They fell away to the king of Babylon. You know, go to Hebrews 6 just a minute. Hebrews 6. Now, undoubtedly, there's a tenor to the book of Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd Peter, and Jude that really seems to have a tribulational aspect to them, but you can't escape also the fact that some of the brethren who understand that there is a dispensational outlook to those books, there's a change that takes place undoubtedly, but sometimes they don't also accept the fact that it also speaks to us in this age also. You can't escape that. Those words were written to believers too. You just got to take and let the Lord guide and direct in how to make the application. But in Hebrews 6 and verse number 6, look at this. Or verse number 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall what? Fall away. What happened to those, fugitives do? They fell away to the king of Babylon. They fell away to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth the blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. What you have here is not somebody hadn't it, losing it. You have somebody who has been exposed to truth, who has been, no doubt, under the influence of the Holy Ghost of God, and they get close to it, maybe even making a profession or putting on the form of it, but pull back ultimately from it and fall away from it in truth. It's kind of like Israel. Israel got, they could see the land, they knew what was there, and and that's even brought up in Hebrews, and they wouldn't go in because of unbelief. This is not someone saved, but it's someone who takes on the color of salvation, but doesn't really get in, if you will. Take your Bible just a minute. Take your Bible. They're like Cain. They're religious but lost. Religious but lost. Go to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter 2, verse number 1. Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, that cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the just unto the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Brethren, listen. You see that? See his crowd? They despise government. They don't like somebody. They don't like authority. They do not like authority. All right? They walk in the lust of uncleanness. They despise it. They're presumptuous. They're self-willed. They're not afraid to speak. Brethren, you better be careful. And I'm telling you, you better be careful of anyone who doesn't have a problem at all about speaking in haughty, arrogant terms toward those in a place of authority or in position. You better watch that. Something ain't right there. Something ain't right. Look at verse 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Notice the wells without water. But they're not saved. They're not born again. They're religious. They're religious. And they'll get blown about with every kind of wind or something different that comes along. All right. Look what he says about it. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. They end up worse than they were. We're not talking about somebody who's really saved and needs to get things right with God or get back. Brethren, this is somebody who gets religious, goes along real good, and usually pretty intense too. Usually they're pretty intense and pretty all until things then maybe don't go the way they ought. And boy, then they start and end up worse than they were. They're not born again. They made some changes on their own. They externally did some things, but it's in their own power, their own strength, right? They're religious, but they're lost. Look at this. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. They go back to what they really are. They go back to what they really are. Listen, this is a theme that starts in Hebrews, and it goes through Peter, it goes through 1 John, it goes through Jude. Go to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. It's a theme that you see pick up in Hebrews, and then you see it in Peter, and then you see it in John, and then you see it in Jude. And it's those who get religious. They get religious, and they follow along, but then they show what they really are. And they can't keep it up. 1 John 2, look at verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out. Where'd they go out from? Us. They went out from true believers, but they were not of us. So where did they come from? Around the true believers. But they weren't true. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Go to 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hey, notice Cain is mentioned. What was Cain? Cain brought an offering, but it was his own way, the way he wanted to do it. And God tried to deal with him, wouldn't have none of it. And so he killed his brother. Real quick, go to the book of Jude. Jude, verse 8. Jude verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion. Notice a common theme. They don't want government. They don't want dominion. They have a problem with authority. Seriously, brethren, it's a thing that marks out. Brethren, when somebody gets religious but not saved, one of the things that mark them, they're not a sheep, they're a goat. They don't like authority. Sheep are just followers. Now that can get them in trouble. They got to, you know. But goats, that's the problem. Goats don't like to follow. Goats like to get up and look around high, and they're very independent in nature. Look around and they're not followers. And what do you see constantly here? Despise government, despise dominion. They have a problem with authority, and speak evil of dignities. Brethren, listen. Listen, there is a difference between calling something as it is versus just slanderous words and things said out of vehemence and out of, you understand? But there's a difference between calling something as it is versus words and things that get said. Brother, listen. I'm not trying to sound like a broken record, but too many pastors are letting themselves become politically motivated and they are getting involved with and passing along things that do not line up with New Testament Christianity as far as the spirit and the attitude of it. And that's just the truth. Brethren, when things get... All right, look here. Look here. Let me give you an example. All right, you take like I saw somebody had sent around. It was nobody from this church. Somebody sent around to where I forgot even how those tied the thing in. But what it is, brethren, I think that Rosie O'Donnell, I don't know a whole lot about Rosie O'Donnell, okay? From what I gathered, the little tidbits I've heard is she's a sexual pervert. Okay, I heard that, you know, because she's chosen a lifestyle that is, okay, she needs to be born again. She lost. She'll be saved. She'll burn in hell. But somebody sent something around, like tying in something about Islam or Muslims or the NFL maybe. Somehow they tied it in with how Rosie O'Donnell and how ugly she is. Brethren, let me ask you something. You tell me what business a child of God has doing something like that. Okay? What business does a child of God have going around saying something like, well, I mean, she's a... Whoa, just a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That woman's ungodly. She has chosen a lifestyle that is abominable. From what I can tell, she's against things of righteousness, and she needs to get born again. But when you go around and start saying things and making jokes about how ugly somebody is and this and other, what have you done? How is that a righteous cause? That's something you want to do because your flesh likes it, and you want to justify it under a spiritual pretense, and it's wrong, period. Well, Jesus said, hold on, bring my Savior in it, okay? When Jesus called Herod a fox, it was because of his attitude and his cunning and the way he was. Did he say he looked like a fox? Did he say, tell that? Brethren, listen. We can make points about things by saying, and brethren, I think honestly, the way that Hollywood, so I'm speaking generally, I think the way Hollywood does is takes away beauty a woman could have and makes them really, by the way they do. But brethren, to go and say something about somebody personally, that's not going to work the righteousness of God. All that's going to do is get people, people who go along with it, they'll like it because their flesh does. Brethren, you and I are supposed to take the high ground. The high ground. And lift up, and by example, the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not let ourselves get denigrated into things like that. And may God help us so to do. And what burdens me about it, brethren, is instead of getting holier and more spiritual, saints today are getting more political and more carnal. Brethren, we're supposed to be more biblical, more holy, more truly spiritual. Not more carnal, not more political, not more. No, sir. But our flesh is going to want that. But you got to put the flesh under. All right, look here. Real quick, Jude 1, as again, verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Yes, sir. Woe unto them. For they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perish in the gainsay of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity. By the way, just to kind of see a tribulational application of it, notice in Jude and in Peter it mentions spots. 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 Like the mark. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who shall walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. They're not saved. What are they? They're religious. In Hebrews, in Peter, in John, in Jude, you start seeing a crowd spoken of that have made some changes, have taken on an external appearance, have even done a lot of things, but they are not born again. They're not. And given enough time, they play to what they really are. And it manifests itself. And brethren, as we approach the latter times here, our Lord's return, you're going to see more of it. What happened? What could happen to where at the early part of the church, of course, you always had stuff like this, but why so much toward the end? I think it's because of the way how salvation's been done. Repentance has been downplayed. It's been a matter of just simply get someone to say a prayer, do a little thing, so no true regeneration has taken place. Individuals have gotten religious, but they've not been regenerated, and given of time, it manifests itself. And I bring that up because these fugitives, they fell away. The Bible speaks of that in Hebrews, but it ain't someone that's a genuine article. Someone who got close, but didn't get in. So let's pray, brethren. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Give us understanding, Father. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help us, Lord, to always examine ourselves. Prove our own selves, Lord. To be sure, Lord, that we're in the faith and that we're in thee, Lord, and you abide in us. Father, help us. Help us, Lord, to hold fast. And Father, help us, dear God, to ever grow closer to you in holiness, in godliness, and in truth. Help us, Lord, to be spiritual, biblical, instead of political. And Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.